Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise in the household this morning. Open up your mouth, people of God, and just magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Can I hear a hallelujah out here? Can I hear a thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. If God has he not been good to you, he's been good to us. He's been wonderful to us. He's been kind to us. He's been glorious to us. Amen. We are excited that you have joined us right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Thank you, and thank you. And we pray God's blessings upon you. Amen. We are excited, amen, for the word of the Lord that is getting ready to come forth through the man of God, Apostle Christopher McQueen. We just want you to prepare yourself, prepare your heart and your mind, get your Bible. We're going to go on a ride, amen, and we're expecting, I don't know about you, but I'm expecting for the Lord himself to speak. And if you have great expectations, I guarantee you that as you put your prayer request before him, that this morning the man of God shall come with the answers from the Lord for your situation. Amen? Amen. But before, I just want to give briefly the announcements. Amen. This morning, read the scripture, go into prayer. Then next voice we'll hear will be the praise and worship leader, Sister Melissa Butler. And then immediately following that, we shall hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. This morning's announcements are as follows, people of God. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join yours truly for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. That's www.ctkr.org. We ask that you would go to the Contact Us page if you would like any personal information concerning the church. If you want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, or if you would like, amen, myself or Apostle McQueen as a minister at your engagement, amen, go to the Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. For those of you who have been watching us live, amen, and you want to go and see even our older shows or our older messages, go to the media page that's located, both of those tabs are located at the top of our website. Amen. Once again, www.ctkr.org. Go to the media tab. Click there and you'll see all of our shows and even our live stream as we're going, as we're moving forth even now. Amen. Glory to God. And those are the quick announcements, but we also want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages. We invite you to our Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, amen, or you can locate us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We would love to hear from you, and we want to connect with you. We also want to know what God is actually doing in your life. We would love to hear your praise reports as well, amen, and please, please pray about becoming a vision partner, a prayer partner, a financial supporter with this ministry, helping us, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise to God this morning. Hallelujah. You are worthy, oh God. Amen. If you would, please quickly turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 145. Amen. Glory to God. The book of Psalms, chapter 145. Amen. And the word reads as such. I lift you high in praise, my God, reading out of the Message Bible. My God, O my King, and I bless your name into eternity. I bless you every day and keep it up from now unto eternity. God is magnificent. Yes, he is. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of details of your greatness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and especially the doers of his word. Amen. God is magnificent and he is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Come on, let us pray this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. God, we glorify you and we thank you and praise you for just being God. Like Psalms 145 says, we will lift your name up and sing your praises. And you are good and mighty to every generation. Lord, we, your people, we bless you this morning. We come with our hands uplifted and our hearts ready to receive. We come with our mouths open, filled with praise, worship, and glory unto your holy name. Now, Father, I'm asking those who are listening to us under the sound of my voice and those that are in the congregation, God, you know every need that is before you this morning. Father, we ask that as the service goes forward, as we press forward into your presence, God, that your glory will be revealed in their lives. Touch lives today. Touch hearts. Touch minds. Put your hand on situations, God. Turn things around, God. Great peace, great healing, great comfort, great deliverance in the name of Jesus. Reveal yourself to those who have been hidden, God. We ask that you would begin to just open up your glory in the lives of your people. Manifest yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring those up higher, God, who are seeking to climb up and know you even greater, Father. We thank you and we bless you. Now, God, we ask that you will crown the apostle there with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Speak forth through him this morning, O God. Let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him. Let us bring forth the glory. Let us bring forth the fresh manna from on high this morning, God. We thank you for your word. We shall walk in obedience, God. We shall receive it, and we shall bring testimonies of your glory. We thank you, and we praise your name now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let us receive none other than Sister Melissa Butler with grace and
worship. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So long to battle by the chains.
of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just give you glory for your freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, I worship you today. Glory to your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you. Hallelujah. God is so awesome.
God is so awesome.
God is so awesome.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Oh, my God. Thank you. So as we are, amen, going forward, I know there are several things that we are fine-tuning and we're getting together. And we know that God has a way. Amen. But even at that, we know that there are some things that he wants from us too. Amen. He wants from us. And when we give him what he wants, then we can have what we desire. Amen. How many of you know that God desires to give you the desires of your heart? He wants you to seek after him. And the problem that we have a lot of times is that we're seeking after him, but we're seeking after him with our personal agenda. Amen? And your personal agenda will get you in trouble with God every time.
Amen?
Look at your neighbor and say, you can get in trouble with God.
You can get in trouble with God.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Amen? Instead of trusting him, not looking for him the right way, not honoring him properly will get you in trouble with him. Amen? So let's take some time, man. And right now, let's just open up our mouths and begin to fill this place with worship. Come on, come on. Come on, that's what he's looking for today. He's looking for worship. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. We love you. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Too often we miss the opportunity to love on him, and people have things that they're trying to do, and later for Jesus we'll get back to you at a different time. But God is trying to get us to focus on him. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, focus on him.
Focus on him.
Come on, say it again, focus on him.
Focus on him.
When we can focus on him, he'll start focusing on us. Amen? If you would, I want to take some time this morning. Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about a simple thing. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a simple thing.
It's a simple thing.
But it's a critical thing. Amen. Say that with me. It's a critical thing.
It's a critical thing.
Now, what are you talking about, Apostle? I'm talking about the fact that there are certain things that God has called us to. Amen. And the things that he has called us to, the things that he has said to us, amen, there we go, we have to remember that we are the children of the Most High God. Look at your neighbor and just remind them of that fact and tell them, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Say that again, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Now, listen to the words that you're saying. You're saying that my lineage, my inheritance, my genealogy comes from a natural source, amen?
Uh-huh.
That's where you get your name from. That's where you get your last name from. That's how you know who your auntie and your uncles are, and your grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, amen? Hmm? But when you say, I am a child of God, what you're affirming is the fact that regardless of who you are, Smith, Jones, Metcalf, McCoy, Joseph, Jefferson, McQueen, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It don't matter. My lineage is from God. I am a child of him. Amen? And once we understand that, then we'll understand that there are certain things that we have in our life simply because we are his children.
Yeah.
Do you, owe you, cannot be denied from you. Amen? But we can mess ourselves up because the same thing that qualifies all the positive things in your life will justify all the negative things that you experience in your life. Amen? That is taking the authority that you have and misappropriating it for the enemy's plans and not God. Amen? Do y'all see where I am?
Yeah.
So God calls us then and speaks words to us and tells us of our greatness, and yet and still we have to begin to believe God for the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and just ask him, do you really believe what God said about you?
Do you really believe what God said about you?
Amen. Do you really? Because if you really believe what God said about you, then certain things would not proceed from you. And some of you think that I'm talking about carnal sin. No, I'm not talking about carnal sin. The carnal sin is a repercussion of a far more deadly, you know, thing that happens. Amen? If the enemy who has no authority can take your spiritual God-given authority, huh, and delegate it to his plan, then he don't have to have power. He'll use yours. Amen? Let's look at some scriptures here. I don't want to get too far from this because I want you to understand. Go to Ephesians, the second chapter. 19th verse. For those of you who are listening, those of you who are watching, I pray that you would be a blessing to this ministry. God has given us the ability to be on video as well as to stream as well as to be on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And I thank him for that because we are more concerned about kingdom impact than we are about how many people walk through the door to say that they came. If your life is not changed, amen, and that's not to say we don't want nobody to walk through the door, amen. What I'm saying is that we should be more concerned about what is your kingdom impact, amen. And we learn how to use social media, amen, and technology to progress the gospel, amen. If you are one of those who is just happy that you got your spot on your favorite row, nobody parked in your parking spot that everyone knows you parked in for the last 25, 40 years, then maybe you are complacent with this thing called Christianity. It has ceased to be a relationship and simply have become a religion. Amen? But we want to make sure that we are relational. Amen? Amen? And that we have a kingdom impact. Amen? Amen. Let's read this here. I'll read from the New King James. I know that we have it up in the King James. The wording will be a little different, but it's the same. Amen? It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Look at your neighbor and say, stop trying to be a stranger.
Stop trying to be a stranger.
Or should I say, stop trying to stay a stranger. Amen?
Amen.
Or foreigners. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Look at this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and just tell him we're being fitted into him. Come on, say it again. We're being fitted into him. We've been made into him. You got to understand what's being said here. Amen? Let's look at it in the Message Bible. You have that over there. I want you to see this. Go back to that 19th verse. Amen? There you go. It says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. Look at your neighbor and say, I have a home. Say again, I have a home. Because what happens is when you don't know where your home is, you'll lay your head down any and every place. Huh?
And if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. You understand? Some of the stuff that happens in our life simply is because we are connecting. Not connected. We're connecting to the wrong thing. The wrong entity, the wrong people, they have good intentions and all kinds of good. But if you're not going the way that I'm going, which is toward perfection in Christ, then we can't walk together. The Bible simply says this. It says, how can two walk together except they agree? When we look at where some of you are walking and where you have gone before and how you've gotten there, even after you walked out of the household of faith saying, I believe God, I trust in him, we have to ask the question, how did you get so far down the road that you can't agree with? Amen? Isn't that interesting that we just show up some places that we should have never been? Talking about we won't never go there because it doesn't meet, you know, the requirements of our journey. Yet still, lift up your eyes and try to figure out how you got so far down the road. You say you never go down. The enemy is strategic, if you will. He constantly tells us that, you know, it ain't too bad. Somebody got to go to the club and get the center. Amen? Thank you. Somebody got to go out there and speak to the pimp and the prostitute. Yeah, you're right. Somebody do need to go out there. But if the grace of God is not on you to be the person to go, look at your neighbor and say, stay at home. Stay at home. See, there are some people who can go around those things and around those places to never have a problem. You know why? Because they're inoculated against it. They grew up in it. They came from it. It doesn't have a grip on them. There's no curiosity there to draw them further into things. But you will go over there thinking that, you know, I can go a little closer, and then they go, because I'm holy. And you forgot that you will be a child of God as long as you don't touch the unclean thing. Boom. So if he didn't send you there, look at your neighbor and say, don't go there.
Don't go there.
Huh?
Don't go there.
Oh, see? I think nobody, well, you know, okay. After you get to figure it out and try to talk it out and try to fool yourself, recognize the spirit of truth that's already shown the light. Amen? There's plain enough that you're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith. Everybody say kingdom of faith. Say it again, kingdom of faith. Look at it right there. It says, and now your home country. So then that means that we live in a kingdom of faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. You see that? So now if you don't have faith in Jesus, what is it that you're believing in? If I had to put a title on this right here, the title would be is How You Live. I think we're going to title that, How You Live. Huh? I remember back in the day, there used to be How You Living, you know, in Living Colors. Y'all know, you know, the weigh-ins and the flying girls and all of them. And you know, some of you remind me of that Jamaican character that he used to play where he had 50 million jobs. I have 50 jobs, 50 jobs. And, you know, and everything that you do, you busy about it. But you got to understand without focus, without understanding, you just busy. Huh? But you ain't going nowhere. And if we are given a task and an assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and you are just busy, you can't do that assignment. Amen? because you're doing too much of a lot of stuff, but not enough of the right stuff. So what are we looking at here? This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Look at your neighbor and say, I come from faith.
I come from faith.
Come on, say it again. I come from faith. Look what it says. It says, you're no longer the strangers or outsiders. You belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. And see, that's why we can't be looking at people, talking down at them, and trying to make people feel like they don't merit God's favor because they didn't come through your prayer line. They didn't come down your path. They didn't come from your, see, we got to stop doing that, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, we got to put that stuff to rest. Oh, yes, we do. We got to put it to rest because the people are trying to do something for God, but they got to get past you and your scrutiny. And God was never there to scrutinize what they were doing. He put us in a place where we have to give, if you will, we have to take time and notice what's around us, but we're not supposed to be over there criticizing. I was telling Prophet, just earlier today on the way here, we spent so much time in modern Christendom putting people under our feet, making them our enemies so that our enemy can be our footstool. When we get in the New Testament, though, we don't see this practice. Huh? We don't see it. We're told to put on the whole armor of God, not so we can fight for, but so that we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. Is that what it tells us? We don't want to read those things. We want to believe in our heart that just like he took out the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Hittites and all, you want to believe that he's going to go take out the Joneses and the Smiths and the, you see, your boss at work who told you that you do got to go out and clean up the parking lot. You do have to show up on time. You do have to do this. You do have to have that reporting. You do have to, you ready. I'm just praying right now in the name of Jesus that, oh God, get him. No, that's called integrity. Amen? That's called character. That's called if you got the job, then do the job.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm going to talk about it till he ain't, you know, because he's just getting on my nerves. Okay, well, let him get on your nerves. But if you bear the name Christian, I wish I had time to go in and show you where it says, servants, be obedient to your masters. Huh? It says that. Now, we're not dealing with servanthood in the terms that we look at now. We're looking at servitude as it is stated, as one who has given themselves for a amount of time for something in return. In your aspect, you give your time and your talent and your ability to your boss for 40 hours a week. You see what I'm saying? But while you're there for 40 hours, make sure you're not cheating the boss.
Yeah.
And if you're a Christian boss, make sure you're not being harder on your Christian brothers, sisters, amen? The Bible tells us what we need to be doing here. But too often we get caught up in looking at the flesh and forget that there's a spiritual component too. Here we are, we're supposed to be the children of God, amen? And if we're the children of God, shouldn't we be doing some godly things? Shouldn't we be speaking some godly things? Shouldn't our focus be on God and on kingdom matters? Well, kingdom matters means that we're looking at faith walk, amen? Huh? God is trying to use all of us. And he called us all. Look at your neighbor and say, yes, he called you too. in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Let me say something here, because some of you think that being an apostle or a prophet is just the cream. Ooh, they're a prophet. Ooh, that's the apostle. You don't understand what we have to go through in order to be apostle and prophet. Amen? See, they killed the prophet. They persecuted and killed and martyred the apostle. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament as we have it in prison. Yet still, you like your freedom. You want your title. And you look down on those who matriculate through a penal system, whether they went there of their own accord or whether or not somebody tricked, lied, stole their freedom. Joseph, we remember the story of Joseph, how his brothers lied on him and sold him, lied about it, said he was eaten. Look at his coat of many colors. Y'all saw that? It was his brethren. Yet still, you couldn't fathom the thought that they can't be lying. That's his brother. Can't be lying. That's the sister. This is not new. But this is what they say. This ain't new. What we're doing now is we're realizing and recognizing that the thing that caused Joseph and David when he was fleeing from Saul and Abraham when he was leaving from his family, the thing that they had was faith. I know what the dream was. So when my brother sold me out, all I could hold on to was the hope of what he showed me. When it got tough, when I'm doing all that I had to do, and yet it's still hard for quite tough the lies on me, and they grab me and throw me into prison and beat me as I'm going, telling me all kinds of this, that, and other. All I have is the dream and what he showed me. Look at your neighbor and say, what do you have faith in? Because we're talking here in Ephesians about being part of the kingdom of faith in our home country. Yet still we have not demonstrated faith. Lord, help us. He used the apostles and the prophets for foundation. Now he's using you. So you've been riding on the coattail of the man and woman of God. And now God is saying, okay, that was good for them. I hope you learned the lesson. Now it's your turn. Can you go through what the apostle and prophet went through? Because according to this, you saw what they went through, and you're being used too. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone. How's he doing it? Well, Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, he's the cornerstone. And Jesus is the one making sure that you're processing, getting that part of the brick off and this part off and making sure it sits down perfectly. He's making sure that your workmanship, your craftsmanship is correct so that when you fit it in, you can be built upon and you can stand the load of the building.
Yes, sir.
But we'll do ourselves a disservice. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 18, let's look about 19. 18, 19. We're going to look at 20 and 21. A familiar passage? Huh? You can go back to the message. If he's building us in brick by brick, using us, then sometimes The bricks that he's using are the people that may have offended you.
That's the truth.
Ooh, no, they can't be, not here. They better not come on my side of the church. I hope they do, so you can get that out of you. See, what you got to understand, in the building, what the brick is put in and held in place by a mortar, which means that once the brick is there, it ain't moving. You don't want them around you because, ooh, there's just something about it. That's your flesh. That's why you need to fast a little bit more. That's why you need to pray a little bit more. Get in your word a little bit more. Worship and praise him. Get in his faith. Get into his presence and set the atmosphere as well there. Huh? If you can't do that, you're going to have a hard time with the process. You know why? Because whenever the presence of the Lord shows up, the first thing that he does is show you, you. Look at your neighbor and say, the first thing he's going to do is show you yourself. Y'all need to hear it. Say it again. The first thing he's going to do is show you yourself. So why is he showing you yourself? I'm so glad you asked. He's showing you yourself so that you can see clearly. Amen. What it is you need to work on. See, we're so busy going to God praying about folk. Well, we need to be praying about folk. Y'all see that? You're praying about folk. Well, you need to be praying about folk. You start praying about what you need to do. And I remember, let me just go back to my days coming up. I told you before, I come up in a good old Pentecostal holiness church. We shouted, spoke in tongues, and all the rest of that, amen. And that was wonderful, amen. I still love that. That's why I play the organ and do all that I do, because I come up with that, amen. I love that sound. I love that worship, amen. Huh? But the one thing that I remember that they did was they would come to noonday prayer. Part of noonday prayer was they was crying out to God saying, work on me. Purge me. Huh? Cleanse me. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me. They were crying out to him to get themselves right. Huh? And see, we come to church now and intercede and talk about folk through our prayer. Lord, if that old contagious, I don't know why she thinks that you love her, but Lord, bless her in your house because this ain't God. You know, so how are you going to be interceding when all you do is talking about folk? Look at your neighbor and say, that's not intercession.
That is not intercession.
Huh? That's not intercession. That's why, you know, I like prayer warriors. All these intercessors, God bless you for what you do. God bless you. There's a place in the kingdom for it. Huh? But I like prayer warriors because prayer warriors used to get down and dirty with it. Huh? They'd be on the floor. They'd be there, oh, God. Oh, help me. Get me right. Wash me. We're too proud now. We're too self-righteous. We're too high and mighty that we don't need the Lord to do nothing for us. Because in our minds, it's already been done. Look at your neighbor and say, that's foolishness. We got to get back to the old ways. The old ways of crying out before the Lord and allowing him to wash us. And when he does, then we stop looking at that person who offended us as the villain. We start looking at them as the victim. I don't understand how we can see people overtaken and talk about them, but want grace and mercy when we're overtaken. Well, you know, everybody got something. What did you just say? Everybody going to do something. Well, why don't you take that same tone, have that same perspective when you were criticizing and stomping on and kicking
your brother and your sister.
Whew. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a little rough. But it's right.
Because if we're going to deal with building and being the building, then we got to learn to stop putting chips on our shoulder and looking at people down our nose and telling them, you ain't arriving, you ain't, and it ain't this and it ain't that. See, we got to get past all of that because God is not a part of that. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, that ain't Jesus. I have sin that comes short of the glory of the Lord. And you need to point and say, and me too. Stop trying to be so great, grand, and wonderful that nobody, and I do mean nobody, measures up to your level. Listen, I love the person who taught me how to play. His name is Minister Brian Thomas, Toledo, Ohio. And anybody, anyone who knows Brian Thomas, the maestro, knows that he has to say, you can't beat me being me. And when he sits down, he said, you know, I know musicians who play rings around what I would do, but they can't beat me being me. I take that same stance when it comes down to different things. I look at different musicians and how they play. I'm like, woo, that was some. One of my groups, and y'all have to pardon me for this, but I like the arts, amen. And one of the styles that I like is jazz, amen. Amen. And I like it not because, I like it because today talking all that, they're just slapping down, beat it up and rest of that, and, you know, and I'm all this and looking at all this. I like it because it's just pure. It's expression, you know, through instrumentation. Amen. Being a musician, I can appreciate what the artist goes through when they're coming up with the riffs, the runs, the articulation. I like that. Amen. I like classical music, too, because of the same reason. But right now I'm listening to and heard my son showed me this group called Snarky Puppy. Told me about it, and I was like, that don't even sound holy. So I didn't even bother with it. A little while later, I heard, you know, Snarky Puppy through by accident, amen? Somebody was playing some music, and I said, whoa, who is that? That's Snarky Puppy. I said, okay, well, let me get another second look. Went back, started looking, and seeing that these boys could play. Oh, they can play. They got it together. Right now, there's a song that they're doing called We Like It Here. And in there, Corey Henry, many of you know Corey Henry because he's a son of the church. He plays on here, but he's playing as a jazz artist. And he goes into some articulations that I was sitting back just going, I'm trying to figure out how to keep come up with to go over to, and then he puts a little church in there and goes right back in. See, I'm just sitting there just enjoying it like a kid eating ice cream on a hot summer day. Don't judge me. But it was good. Huh? Oh, he played it till I felt like playing. And I would go over and look at the keyboard, and I'm like, I got to hold off. Because I'm going to try to compete with them. I'm going somewhere with them. I can't compete with what he does. He's in school as a music major and has graduated and done other things and has other accomplishments in his life concerning his music. They started posting videos of him as a little kid sitting, swinging his legs on a piano, playing different levels of stuff like this, on an organ at church. Amen? Now, I came up playing from the age of four. Amen? So I understand being child and just falling in love with music. So I sort of like him.
you know, for that reason. I can see that he's come away. And being younger than me, I can see that as he grows, he'll be one who enjoys music all of his life as I do. But I can't compete with being him. Vicariously, he can't compete with being me. Amen? And some of you need to understand that no matter how great or grand somebody may appear or how they may be, they cannot be you being you. Now, let's look at this. When we get to a place where we are competing, we, instead of bringing in those who are hurt, we hurt those who are in. Huh? And when they leave, then we say, well, they really didn't want God. I'm trying to help you because God is going to build us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to build us. And if God's going to build us, what he's going to do is he's going to bring to us sometimes those who have been hurt by others, who didn't know how to deal with them. And we can inflict more damage upon them if they're coming in to the kingdom of faith. To those who are citizens in that kingdom, we need to extend to them the love, the compassion, the acceptance of being part of a kingdom that we will welcome into. Amen? Look what it says here. Do a favor, and what a friend. Nothing can untie that bond. Now, go over to the, I think we have Holman's in there. Give me the Holman's. It says, an offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city. Y'all see that?
Very true.
And quarrels are like the bars of a fortress.
That's very true.
In other words, when God sends them to us, he's going to send them to us, and they're going to be closed up. Y'all see that?
Yep.
And our job is with the love of Christ, huh, to open the gate and welcome them in. Y'all see that? King James Version. A brother is harder to be loved than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Y'all start seeing what's going on here. Oh, what's up, brother? I'm cool. Let's come over. I don't know about going to church. You know, I'm just church focused. Okay, listen. Look at your neighbor and say, people have been hurt. Say it again. People have been hurt.
People have been hurt.
You need to understand this. Y'all see this? Because hurt people, if they are not dealt with, will hurt people. And your kingdom of faith will become a kingdom of contention. You begin to use your faith, going back to the beginning of this, for the enemy instead of for God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't believe that I'll be using it for the enemy. We'll go on to the next verse here. Told you before, a lot of the stuff that you are going through, your environment, your satisfaction, huh? All of that is due to something that is very simple. And I told you, some of y'all thought that I was talking about your carnal sin. So I'm not talking about your vice. I'm not talking about your carnal sin. Those are all cause and effect.
Right.
You see, this is that part that you're talking about is the effect. We got to get down to the cause. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? Look what it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Ooh. So you mean I can't just run off at my mouth? Well, no, because the devil knows that when you run off at the mouth, that every word that comes out of your mouth, being that you are the temple of God, huh, has power. Look at your neighbor and say, every word has power. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Every word has power.
The devil don't mean, he don't care what you meant. He cares about what you said. Huh? Because your neighbor said it's not about what you meant. It's about what you said.
Yeah.
So if I can get you to just speak those words,
say it.
If I can get you to speak the word, then I can take the authority of that and go before the throne of God and say, your child said these words. Look at Job. He said, let me touch him and I'll make him curse you to your face. You see that?
Yes.
And he said, listen, touch everything but his wife. And the devil did his best you got to understand, it's the word. Curse you to your face. I don't care that whether or not he's blessed or not. I just want him to curse you. I understand that when he curses you, that those words have power. And it disconnects him from the protection and the promises of you.
Wow.
You see that?
Yes.
So all he wants you to do is simply speak the word. Now, when you speak the word, he goes to digging in the ground. Plant those words, and then wait for the harvest to come. Look what it says. It says, and with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. Oh, okay, now let's look at this. I had a couple of translations over there to the Message Bible with that one right there. Amen. I want y'all to see this, because we have been running off at the mouth and you know, when the harvest comes, then we want to say, well, that's not what I meant. But the devil don't care what you meant. He cares what you said. It says this, word satisfies the mind. Why the mind? As much as fruit does the stomach. Why the mind? Because as the man thinks, so is he. And if your thoughts are that you're less than a child of God, then you'll begin to speak lesser than a child of God. And you'll be stuck living at a level lower than a child of God. Brothers and sisters, walk in the door as those who have been hurt by church folk, or hurt by the world, or hurt by society. Walk in the door. They don't need to hear your words of silence. They need you to be a citizen of the kingdom of faith and speak the words of faith so that they can live a life. They're going to come in already beat down. They don't need your words to beat them down too. Oh God. So that means that we can't come in and murmur and complain and fuss and fight and all this other stuff and contention. They've lived that life already. Just tell me to find some place that don't have that. They're trying to change. They're trying to give up their citizenship here and gain it over here. And that's the place where they come to looks just like the place they left. They say, well, listen, at least I know what I'm going through here. I can stick with my familiar, and they lose the hope. We're supposed to be doing something to bring them back, win them over, compel them to come. But if your speech is wrong, then that hurt brother, that hurt sister is a fortified city, and you don't have the means to bring against that. Good talk is as gratified as a good heart. Isn't that good? Good talk. When they come in your midst, they're going to come in, they're going to have
they're going to have a background. They're going to come in, they're going to have baggage. They're going to come in, they're going to have trouble. They're going to come in, they're going to have circumstance. Huh? But when they come in, recognize that none of you are without a past. I'm going to say that again. None of you are without a past. The difference between your past and their past is that they may have gotten caught in the past, where you were just lucky in the past. But maybe you were doing the same thing in the past. Hello, somebody. We got to get past this thing where we feel that we are so far above that nobody in their right mind could ever say anything against us or anybody, because, you know, after all, I am. Ooh, I was slick. Stop. Cut it out. We got to start speaking gratifying words. Look at your neighbor and say something gratifying. I was reading through some of the social media this morning, clearing out some messages and stuff, and saw that a pastor had been shot in the head as part of road rage. And some of you drive down the street and run off at the mouth and don't mean them. Yak, yak, yak. Looking at people, he had just pushed in the mirror. You just drive angry. Truth be told, if you had left 2 minutes earlier, you wouldn't be in as bad a rush as you are right now. And no, they're not driving too slow. They're driving too fast. Yes, so we don't know the circumstances behind this situation. But I clearly heard the Spirit say, tell your people to stop fussing so much. We're not just looking at the road rage. We're looking at the fact that the children of God have, at their disposal, they have power and authority. And God has promised us so much. Amen? But you can't get anything that God has promised you as long as you're doing what the children of Israel did. Murmur. Complain. Did no words of kindness. Everything was a comparison against something better. So how come we just need to, you know, if we was over like Bedside Baptist with Bishop Sheets and where the comforter had come, you know, that we could have and we could be just like, and stop comparing yourself. You are where God sent you. Amen? You're part of a faith walk. Because we are faith people, and we live by faith. The Bible says in several places, the just shall live by their faith. So while you're trying to find a way to get around your process, you're speaking the harvest. What kind of harvest do you got? Don't answer that. What kind of seeds have been sown? Lord Jesus. How are you living? Well, I'm just trying. Every time I get something, but stop holding wrong words. That's not gratifying. Huh? How you living? I'm living good. Ooh, I'm so grateful. Some of you need to go and look at those who are homeless and just go by them and look at them and see certain things about them, certain aspects. They live out of bags, and small things mean so much. Going over to Africa, the time that we're over there,
we find that they live a faith walk, and they live greater and in more confidence, huh, than we do with everything that we have. We can't get enough to be satisfied. And they don't need a whole lot to be satisfied. You see a difference there? We got to get back to speaking the right words. Let's just say these last, this last Proverbs 18:21. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Words kill.
Yeah.
Words give life.
Yeah.
They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Brothers and sisters, when I asked the question at the very beginning, how are you living? When you are living a dead faith life, it's because your words are dead. When you're living a live faith life, it's because your works are life. And you're going from glory to glory. You're going from faith to faith. Huh? You're doing greater and greater. And God is getting more glory out of your life. So he allows you not to come out of this trial, but he allows you to stay in it, knowing that your words will produce greater harvest. Let me give you this last visual as we get ready to close. Notice that the plow rolls in the ground and does not come out, but digs up the whole field. If God is using you to break up fallow ground, stop coming out, stop trying to come out of the field, but stay in and do the work. You are created for that job. Y'all see what I'm saying? You were tempered and made your angles up so that you go through it and do the work. Stop trying to go through and come out. I'm just ready for something different. Okay, listen. God is giving you the ability to do a job. Do it. Speak the positive, live a good life, and stop lying to folks, telling them as a child of God, he's not able. Because that's what your words say when you speak out. Amen? Brother, sister, we're not done. We're going to stop here. You'll get how you living as we come back, amen, on Tuesday, next Saturday, amen, as the Holy Spirit gives me words to say and direct it. But I do want to say this. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins. And if you don't, this is an invitation to you to try Jesus. Really, really. Listen, it's the best decision you ever made. It was the best decision that I made. Amen? And I want to offer him to you. But simply, if you want to accept him, say these words with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I pray that you are led to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where you can be fed and be developed and mature into the child of God that he's called you to. You're welcome to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of faith, and we live by faith, and you're going to learn that this is the best life to live. Amen? Go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Sow into this ministry. We use your funds so that we can spread the gospel around the world, and you can help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world by your charitable contribution. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen with Prophetess Crystal McQueen from Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We'll see you on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Amen. Come on, give God a praise all over the building.